podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hi, welcome to High School Hoops, episode 133. Happy spring, everybody. Pretty exciting. Before we jump into our four-part series, which I'm super excited about, building a program and some of the keys that go into it and kind of how you can find more of that stuff inside of teachhoops.com, but we'll talk about that in a second. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Go over and check them out. Innovative. Unbelievable. We just bought our third one. We just had a teachhoops.com member buy two of them, actually. So he outdid me. I bought one. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged or High School Hoops, and they'll give you $350 off. They will also work on financing. They will also possibly give you up to $1,500 on a trade-in. I didn't trade my old machine in, but maybe I should.
Couldn't get rid of it, huh? Couldn't let go of it?
It's like a, it's close. The plastic, it's like.
How long have you had it for?
Oh gosh, 10, 12, a long time. And we've had to do some major maintenance on it, but you know,
did you win a state title with it?
We did.
Yeah, that's why I can't let go of it.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring it home. Also, I'd like to give a big shout out to teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. One of the reasons I wanted to do this four-part series was I've been working on stuff about building a program because I always have a lot of coaches asking about it. And just inside of our community, I put a weight training thing, a conditioning thing, an agility thing, a nutrition thing all in one spreadsheet. It was awesome. And then today I'm going to actually put up their workouts, you know, like here's a workout you can do in the gym with stations and all this great kind of stuff. But anyway, it got me thinking about what coaches are always asking about. They're always asking about building a program. You know, how did I take a program that I was the only applicant for and that it had like five or six winning seasons in 30 years and turned it into, I will say, a perennial powerhouse. We've been pretty competitive. And Jake, we're the only boys team in the state of Wisconsin to win a national tournament. And we won two.
Really? Not even King ever won a national tournament?
King never won one. Vincent never won. We're the only team. We've won two.
I got the trophies in my basement. Those were some pretty good teams too. That's a really good accomplishment.
Well, 17 we lost in the semis, but,
you won that national tournament when you went to state and lost in the semifinals, right?
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson.
And these trophies don't go into the showcase at school because those are only for like state association ones. So they're in my basement right now. So it's pretty cool. But anyway, so that's why we did it. Go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Yep. Prices are going up. I'm not lying about it. All right. So today's topic is culture. We're going to talk about culture.
Right. So I think the one thing we want to talk about is that all of the things, these next four podcasts is all build upon each other. So if this is something that you're really interested in, Steve talked about in the beginning, I didn't just mean to chime in, but it's about building a program. So just to forefront kind of what our overall goal is to give you four key things in building a program. Obviously there's more to it, but these are the four essentials that we felt that we really want to address, which we're going to be addressing today is culture, program and / branding, X's and O's, and player development. So today
we're foreshadowing. He just foreshadowed for you. Yep. So today we're going to talk about culture. So, and again, this is how it all started. I was on my walk. I was thinking back to this was when I walked, when I got the job at Memorial in October. I'd been married in July. I got the job in October, started in November. And I wasn't able to tackle as much as I wanted with culture. We needed a shift in mentality. And that's been my only losing season as a high school coach was that first one.
So I think the first thing, and I'll ask you, because you're the one that has had such good culture, is how would you really define culture for people that are listening? What does that really mean? Because that's such a term that is used all the time, and you search it, and everybody in different books have different definitions.
Yep.
So what is your definition?
I think
where do you look
at
culture?
And I'll explain something we did this year with this year's team, and because I'm always looking for new ideas and innovative things. But I think it's your values, it's your beliefs, it's your attitude, it's your behaviors, it's what you're like. It's what someone is a fly on the wall will know what we stand for. And it takes time to build that. But it takes, you know.
You consider that almost like your identity, your culture is your identity?
It does. And what we did this year, and it was unique because we weren't necessarily playing, but we took I have a bracket, like an NCAA bracket, and we put 64 words in and we randomly assigned them. And then we did a bracket. We did a vote bracket. It was really cool. And we wanted to come up with like four key components. Like, I'd have to go back and look in exactly what ours were this year, because it was unique. I mean, we'll really only see the guys once a week, but I was trying to see if they would be excited about it. And they were. But they would, it would be like a bracket, and you'd have like hard work and academics or something. Those two words. Well, I'm not just pick two words, but we had 64 of them, and then the team would vote, and whatever word won went on.
That's very cool. I like that.
Yeah. So it was a way of us.
But 64 first, words is a lot.
It is. It is. And I got a list inside of YouTube. Inside, I got this all.
That's a really cool idea. So did you decide when you did that? Because I just don't mean to get off topic, but it's a good idea. It's really thinking outside the box. It's very, you know, leading the player. It's very 21st century. It's great. It's a great idea. Did you try to I would never want to put hardworking and academics next to each other when you first seeded. Did you try
No, it was pretty. I mean, first of all, I didn't seed them. So I had my assistant coach seed them. So I would have to ask him exactly. It worked out well. I know the 64 words we spent, you know, it was pretty easy to get like 59 of them. It took a little stretch to get the last couple. But yes, there was some non-randomness, but it was pretty random because I wanted some hard brackets. I wanted some, like, you know, the 8 seed playing the 9 seed. So they'd have to think about it. There were ones that took like literally a millisecond because we voted online. We were doing Zooms at this point. So we had to vote online. So some of the brackets, like, boom, it was done. And then there were some like, okay, who hasn't voted yet? Come on, keep it. Because they were like, oh, which word do I pick? You know? But going back to what we were talking about with culture, I think you got to try to give them control back. You know, I know when I initially came in, the culture had not been a winning culture. So I had to shift the mentality of winning, first of all. And part of that was scheduling. I had to figure out who to play and who not to play. We needed to get some W's. We needed to get some things on the right side of that column, just for a mental standpoint. But I also had to, you know, they weren't practicing 6 days a week. You know, the expectation wasn't that you were gonna, you know, be dressed to practice and have your stuff on. It was the rules and the expectations needed to be precise. And, you know, they weren't militant, but they were like, well, here's how the UW does.
I think you're basically saying that I wrote down here. Is that, I think you're trying to find that word of consistency, and repetition,
right?
So I think a good culture, and I wrote this down, is the best teams that I've had, and I even look at the mistakes, is the best ones that I've noticed in the best programs, the teams I've been a part of, we're consistent in everything that we do, and we constantly repeat it over and over and over. And I know that you're the Memorial way. Like, this is what we do, right? This is you know, when I was at the junior college, it was our way, and everybody bought into it. And like, I think the other thing
it says the Memorial way on the street out in front. Like, it's not a street, but it's the like school parking lot. So it says Memorial Way, and I 100% agree. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes, it is the Memorial Way. Yeah, and that's what worries me. To be honest with you, excites me and worries me going into next season, because everybody that I will be coaching next year, everyone I will never coached. Never coached them. It's the first time in 20 plus years that I will not have had somebody. Even when I took over the job, I was the JV coach. And I took over the job and they knew me. This is literally, now these kids know me, but they don't.
So
they
when you started at Memorial, you were the JV coach and the next year you took the varsity job?
I was two years.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you went from WASA directly to that.
No.
So that makes it a little bit easier transition. See, I did that too. I did not do that. So like I had one job and then I jumped into another job. That's hard. That's really hard.
Because I had 2 years to figure out, that didn't work.
Knowing the conference, knowing the, you were able to jot down every time of, these are all the barriers. These are all the things I don't like, you know? Yeah. So that those people that tend to take over a program that they're a part of is definitely easier to build on. I would say.
And the thing is, I knew, to be honest with you, I had to come in. I had to cut people. I had to do things to draw a line in the sand, and it wasn't mean, but it was like, you know, I had to do things and I couldn't tolerate some things. I couldn't tolerate you not showing up with your gear. I could not tolerate you missing the bus.
Everything you're saying comes down to accountability, right? And building a program around accountability and then having consequences.
Yeah. It goes back to what I said at the beginning. It's about values. It's about your beliefs. It's about, you know, that yes, you're going to come in the middle of July and get up 1,000 shots. Yes. It's your behaviors. It's how you're acting in school. It's how you're acting in all of those behaviors, and those standards have to be set. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I was 25 or 35 and doing it now, I think how I came in would be probably a little bit different. But I think having them vested in those values, beliefs, attitudes is important. And that's why I came, that's why the 64 bracket thing, because I want them to own those beliefs, because they already know the Memorial Way and they look at the pictures on the wall and me wearing my ring to practice.
Once you start building a program, it takes care of itself. I mean, really, it does.
But now this is the pivot for me. I'm coming in and I have to have them, because again, I'm coming in to coach kids that I have not coached before. I have to help them now. I have to grab their hand and show them the path of how we do this. And we were having a coaching meeting with my coaches the other day, and it's like, yes, we're going to have to teach them how to do pregame. We're going to have to teach them where they sit. We're going to have to
how
teach
they
them
eat,
how to get
how they
the
take
bus.
Care of their bodies, how everything.
Everything, because there's no built-in culture where the seniors are teaching the juniors how it's done because of COVID, which is exciting for me, because we as a staff, we came in and said, well, let's do this. We're already pivoting. Like, we've got this new glob of clay that we're going to be able to mold now,
which is
there's no pre-existing. Now we have the culture of winning and state championships and, you know, all the stuff that our Memorial has done, but they don't know the other stuff. So I said, we've been working on this for like 6 months. I told my staff, we meet every week. I told my staff, I said, we have a very unique thing, because we have no preconceived notions walking into that gym about what we expect, I said, you don't get this very often in a coaching career.
So make something that's a negative into a positive.
And have to use this as, okay, here we go. Like half of our conference played. Well, they didn't have that because they had con. So how can I use this? I think you put it in a great way. How can I use this negative as a positive? Yeah.
Right. And the other thing that I think you're constantly touching on, you're not directly saying, is that it's got to be co-constructed. I think in the 21st century in kids is that that buy-in piece has to be in. So even though it's a clean slate, you have to find opportunities so they feel like they're a part of building that. Yeah. And so I think a culture is co-constructed, and you have to facilitate and get kids to be part of it, you know, and goal setting and all those things. Right. You know, I think the biggest mistakes that I made, and the first thing I just want to talk about why culture, I think culture and establishing a culture enhances to be the best way to be a top performing team. If you don't have your culture set, you'll never be the best you can be in regards to a basketball team.
You'll be good.
Yeah. You'll be good.
And you can be great. Great. You're not going to be awesome. You're not going to be holding a ball above your head.
No. Because you're not going to have the concepts of team and unselfishness. And you look at every team that gets to state every year, they have the concept of team and they're unselfish because some other guy that's your 6'7" guy comes in, your six, seven or eight guy comes off the bench and he provides 10 extra points, or this guy sets up, or this guy fills in this role. And you know, that's that culture. It's that concept. You cannot be your top performing team and be the best team you can be without establishing that.
Yeah.
From somebody that was a varsity coach for 5 years coming into a situation and not knowing anything, I think the hardest thing that I had to do was not be afraid to stick to what I believe in the most and trying to make everybody else happy. You have to really stick to those key things and hold yourself. When you talk about accountability, it's not even holding your players accountable. It's holding yourself accountable to the things that you really want, because it's really hard when building a program of keeping those accountability factors in, you know, and constantly making the decision, not based on the quick decision, but the best decision for the long run.
Right. Yeah. It's not the quick fix.
Right. And a lot of people get there. Oh, well, that player was late 3 times. He's our best player. I don't care. He's not going to sit. You know, I mean, you know, people do that.
I'm telling you right now, I lost the longest winning streak in Big Eight history, which was at 40 games. 40 games. We had won 40 straight games. Sat Jaron. Sat my best player. Because he didn't do something I told him to do. He missed something. I sat him. We lost the streak. I still remember it. We lost the streak because I sat him. Because I had to and I love Jaron. And Jaron's one of my favorites. But I had to teach him a lesson at that point. And I'm not sure we go on and win a state title at some point along the way if I don't do that. First of all, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do, because I had to teach him a lesson. But the bigger part was I made him hopefully a better human being.
Right. And that's the whole point. I think people are scared because we're always on that title still.
I'm telling you, if you're late to shoot around the morning of a game, I'm not starting yet. And it's like, and they look at me like I'm from Mars sometimes when I do it. It's like, well, it's not like I'm not, the other person was here on time. I'm not like, so it's building that culture. And once you do it once or twice, trust me, you know, I don't want to get the emails or the tweets or all that stuff that I'm this. No, there's extenuating. I mean, kids have called me and said, my bus is late. Things happen. I get it. The snow is coming down. Things happen. I'm not punishing.
Yeah, but it's also the communication that happens before that.
Boom. And I don't how punish that player a kid acts. They can't control.
No, that's the situation.
I've had kids that just
don't show up and they don't let me know. They're running X or they're not playing.
Right. But, they don't control the bus, and the bus is late, and I know the bus is late. Well, things happen. But most of the time, they can control those things, and they don't. So again, values, beliefs, attitudes, behaviors, things that you think are that important are second to none. I'm just telling you. You're building your program, because this is step one of 4 steps.
Right.
You're building your program on quicksand if you can't do it.
Right. And I think you got to start small. Like, you can't write down 100 things. Like, start thinking about, like, these are going to be our core things and build on it. Like, you can't do everything, and try to stay consistent in repetition. I think the hardest thing as a young coach is I was constantly trying to change things within my culture every single year, and it just became confusing and this and that. And if I were to do all over again, I would have just kept it very simple every year. This is what we're going to do. I might tweak it a little bit. We're going to do this. Because we always talk about that shining light that's in front of us, and the World Wide Web and all these coaches, and you see all these things. And again, you constantly change it. It just creates confusion, because you're not getting that consistency repetition.
If you can't get it all into a half a sheet of paper,
I agree.
It's too long. Now, mine is a full sheet of paper, but the bottom half of the sheet of paper is not my stuff. It's like, here, this is, remember, this is this is a WIA rule. Remember, this is a Madison School District. I mean, I put things down there that aren't my specific things, but if you can't put it on a half a sheet of paper, it's too long. Like, beyond, I mean, there's
Again, it's establishing those values. And if you think you're crazy and that kind of thing, and you, I don't care if a player doesn't come on time or this or that, then I don't think you're in it for the right reasons. And I don't think we have people there like that. Hopefully we don't, but you know, there are circumstances and so forth. But again, you know, you want to build a program that you are doing it the right way. That's to me, a culture is doing things the right way and with consistency and repetition, with accountability, consequences. And again, I leave it at this, the why behind everything. I'm a huge net with an educator. It's all about the why. It provides that top performing team because it has a concept of team and unselfishness, because you need that.
And I know I did a course on this, or I did something on Teach Hoops on this, but it's the five whys. Like, why am I running that offense? I'm running the offense because I think it works for my players. Why does it work for my players? Well, I have a lot of bigs. Why do I have a lot of bigs? Well, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So it's the five whys. Any rule that you better implement, you better ask why you're doing it. And once you get to the fifth why, you'll have the answer. All right. Anything else, Coach?
I am more prepared lately because I'm figuring this whole world out now. I do have full timeouts for the next 4 weeks, so we'll also have full timeouts. Coach kind of had me on my toes, and I'm
I did. I'm kind of irritated with me. I know, that's good.
So this one goes directly to you, but I wouldn't mind. I'll address it as well. Is what did you miss the most this season without coaching due to your circumstances? If one thing, I'm sure there's a million things, but there's got to be at least one thing.
There's a lot of things. First of all, I did notice. So the positive side is you do feel, I know that I can retire. So that's the positive, because you do fill the time with something else.
Yeah, you do.
You do. So that's the first thing. But the biggest thing I miss, I'm telling you, I miss the guys in my room. I miss them being at lunch. I miss seeing them in the hallways. I miss that camaraderie. I miss seeing my assistant coaches on a regular basis. I miss that.
So like the human connection.
I do. That's the part I miss. There's an energy in a school for the non-teachers that it's like the movie Cocoon when they go into the pool. There's just some energy in the building, and I'm missing that energy. So that is probably the biggest thing. I'm also missing fitting into all my pants because I'm eating too much over the last year. So I need to go back to school so I don't eat as much, because I don't eat when I'm at school because there's no food there. So the refrigerator is too close is what I'm telling you. But So that's the biggest thing. I miss my guys.
Yeah.
I miss them. I miss them. And that's,
I would say the one thing that I've been not coaching for 2 years now, because I took a year off and then the pandemic, is I think I miss just overall the wanting to compete and the fun of that. I miss that a lot. Because when you coach at the highest level and you build a program, if you have that love and that feat of want to constantly compete and figure out strategies, and I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that. I miss that a lot. Definitely the human connection for sure, but I still coach soccer. My kids are little, so I got a lot of human connection. Your kids are getting older, so they kind of like leaving you alone, so you're kind of in your own little world. I got enough human connection.
They don't want to be around me. That's
but I do. I guess I miss that joy factor of being around high school basketball, that just overall energy, the loudness of the kind of,
and it was hard for me to watch early too, but I think it's getting, I'm going to try to watch the Division I games on Saturday.
Yeah, so. For sure.
All right. All right.
Thanks. See you, Coach. What are we on now?
Sports Social Podcast Network.